for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. This is the 2016 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, December the 30th, 2016. Nikki Pinson is the speaker of the evening, teaching on the Holy Spirit with us. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
But you go somewhere where the Holy Ghost is, and you're walking on dangerous ground when you start playing games with them. You could be dead. I never did finish with Billy. I need to go back. She married the man. She went on. He was very abusive to her. One time she finally came back to Peerless, but one of his kids came and talked her into going back. She moved back a broken woman. Exactly what the Lord said. She never would tell me, but she told everybody at church, Brother Pinson, tell you something, you better listen. But she wouldn't tell me. You know, and that's okay. I'm not God, and I'm not the Holy Spirit. Praise God, that's for sure. Now, he said that if you'll all prophesy, the secrets of their heart will be revealed. And they'll fall on their face and say, of a surety, God's among you. Do you want to have that kind of ministry? Do you want to go to that kind of church? I was dating a girl in a church, and I went with her, and I sat down, and it didn't take me long to figure out what this prophesying to people up there. And so I went back with her again, and I stayed way in the back, because I knew some stuff I was doing, and I sprayed their tail. What I was doing, you know. That's the kind of church you want to go to. That's a real church. You know, that's when the Holy Ghost is revealing secrets. Oh, my God. Oh, Lord God. If we could come to that place, if we could seek these gifts and ask God. Something the Lord showed me, that I began to pray, Lord, do you have a word? Do you have a word for these people? And so I mentioned to you in the jail there, I've been doing that. Now, I don't know if I said this the other day, but they have them sit in a circle. It actually helps keep them in order better. But at the end, the one that's in charge, he's Baptist, he asked me to pray. I said, well, can I pray for them? I don't know if he understood what I was fixing to do. But I went around and laid hands on them. And the Spirit of God came, but there was no word for them. And the next week, it came on me, and I said, Lord, do you have a word for these men? You know he loves those men. Yes. He does, and they know whether you love them or not.
Yes.
They know. So we were about to be over, and I wanted to, but he wasn't giving me a chance, the one that's in charge. And the two ladies with me from the church know who I'm talking about. But so a young black man sitting beside me said, you going to pray for us tonight? And I said, well, not unless he gives me permission, because I'm not running it. I got to be careful. You know, I just got to be careful. It's the Mount Carmel thing, if you understand what I'm saying. It's a contest between that stuff and what God wants to do. Mm. And it'll be that way everywhere you ever go. It'll be that way on your job, in your home, in your church. It's that way. It's that way in this nation. And so he out loud said, Brother Pinson, pray for us. He said, oh, sure. So they started standing up. I said, no, sit down. I'm going to come by and pray for you. And so I started around. And he comes over there, puts his hand on my shoulder and follows me. I don't know, so he can yank me or something if I do so. And I'm going around praying. From about halfway around, he starts speaking in tongues out loud. Now, he had been in a Pentecostal church. He's in the big Baptist church now. Big Baptist church. And he's got a position in that church, but he's speaking in tongues out loud halfway around, and the Holy Ghost getting on him. And when I got through and I sat down, and he said, Brother Pinson don't know y'all, but I know you. And everything he said is right. That's wonderful. That's God. That's what God wants. That's what he wants you to do.
Yes.
Praise God. But you got to get filled with the Holy Ghost and walk in the Spirit and get your mind off everything else and get it on God.
That's right.
What do you want to do? You know, and it bothers me because we go in there, we got 1 hour with those guys, and you never heard the junk that goes on in there. I mean, to me, it's silly talk. And they always talk, please don't misunderstand me, they always talk about Jesus dying and how bad it was, and they put the crown of thorns on him, and they beat him so bad, there's so much blood, and no man can have that much blood. And one of them actually said, all the blood from here is gone, just down in his legs. I don't think he could be breathing if that's so. And what are they doing? They're trying to make them, you look what he did for you. Don't you feel bad? You need to get ask him in your heart. Well, I'll tell you what, he's not on the cross.
Right.
He's resurrected. That's speaking death. There is life. That's a small part of this word. Yes, it's important. But I tell you what, if he hadn't come out of that grave, we wouldn't have anything.
That's right.
And you could speak life into them. Scripture says the letter kills, the spirit makes alive. The letter is information. The spirit is revelation, makes alive. We've got to have revelation, not just information. And you can tell the difference. Well, some people can tell the difference, okay. Now, so the next time, it happened again Tuesday night, same thing. I believe it was this last Tuesday night. Or the Tuesday night before. And this man is running. He comes out. Whoo, that was, you know, that was God was there. And you know, he was. You could feel God. But he's scared. You know, he's under authority. And he's a little bit afraid. But that one, sometimes I go and they will give me a chance. You know, they're going to dominate the thing. I'm talking about that other denomination. They're going to dominate it. They're going to do their thing. And I get discouraged, and I think, I'm not coming back here. I don't have to listen to this. And Brother Keith that goes with me, get there, I'm not coming back. I ain't listening to that. But it seemed like the Lord always would place me right beside someone. And this one I was behind, and at the very end, when I was supposed to do the preaching, but they take over. And finally, he turned and said, Brother Pigeon, you have something to say? So I just said a little bit. I told them they need to come out from among them, be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, I'll receive you. And I said, that goes for in here too. And I'll just speak a little bit, and the man next door to me, sitting beside me in the chair, sitting there, he starts breathing heavy. I said, oh my goodness, what is wrong with him? He's breathing heavy. And then he starts saying, Jesus help me. Oh Lord God, help me please. And he just all broke up. And I said, well, that's pretty good. Maybe I'll come back next time. And so I come back again, and God, and finally the Lord said, just come and sit by them. But then I notice when it's over and time to go, they take them out, and, you know, it's a brand new state-of-the-art jail. I told you that. Well, they take them out a few at a time. If some of them, they'll run over there to, would you pray for me? Would you pray for me? Now, don't misunderstand, they ain't running to that Baptist guy or none of the rest of them. And I've got to be careful because of the jealousy thing, you know. But here they come. And then this young man, Travis, I was telling you about. I shook hands with him. He's going, and I said, wait a minute, you come here. Because the Lord said, I have something to say to him. And I told him, you're scared. You're frightened. You're nervous. You are anxious. And God wants to give you peace. And I just prayed for him. And I had my eyes closed. I mean, that's just what I do. Now, I have my eyes closed. I'm praying for him. He could be sticking his tongue out at me for all I know, but I'm praying for him. And he looked so... And when I got to open my eyes, he's just over there shaking like a leaf. Because what? The secrets of his heart are made manifest. And he said, how'd you know that? I said, I didn't know. But God knew, and God wants you to know that he knows. And that he cares about you. See, there's a world out there, folks. I'm telling you, there's a world out there that need to hear something from God. And they don't have to be the best saint in the community for you to give them a word from God. That this woman at the well, come on now, look at what she is. And the Lord had a word for her. And that's how this thing's going to be turned around. That's how people are going to be reached. When we began to hear from God, we're walking in the Spirit, we're full of the Holy Ghost. That's how it's going to happen. And it doesn't matter where you're at. I was at work one morning. And they were going to fire the manager. And you know what? He needed to be fired. But he was harassing us. He was doing a lot of things. We prayed that him and his wife wouldn't have an argument the night before, because we were going to catch it if they did. And he came, and he's a big old man, was in the military, police in the military, and they were going to fire him that day. These women got smart. They lodged sexual complaints against him. And it wasn't true. And I knew it wasn't. But they're going to get rid of him. So early that morning, I'm working in the aisle, and he's walking up down. The Lord said, tell him he's going to be here a long time. Well, first thing, and I didn't want him to be there a long time. It's Hallelujah Redemption Day or something right now. Well, he came down, and I said, Mr. Klein, the Lord told me to tell you that you're going to be here a long time. He gave me a very funny look, okay, and walked on. And they didn't fire him. But then, at another time, he is lazy, didn't take care of the store. I'm sorry, but that's what he was. He didn't take care of the store. When his pastor came, he was the secretary of his church, our treasurer. When the pastor came in, he was a different man. We wished his pastor would stay there, but he didn't. Well, another time, they come by, the big wigs come by and inspect the store, and that's how you keep the store looking good. But they tell you sometimes they don't tell you. They'll say, hey, they're at our store and they're headed your way, so everybody runs and fixes everything. But then we knew they were coming. This is in Safeway. They were coming. And so we're there. He's got everybody. I mean, he's blowing his schedule for the week. I mean, it's going to cost him, you know. But he hasn't done his job. We're off there. And the Lord told me he's going to get discouraged and go home. That's what the Lord told me. So I went upstairs where his office was. I said, Mr. Klein, don't go home. Don't get discouraged. We can do this. He gives me that funny look again. But he knew. And it got to the point where if he had a problem or something going on, he'd call me up there, you know, secretly. that's okay. When Saul's father's donkey was lost and his servant, and they were looking for it, what did the servant say? I know somebody that can tell you where he's at. Let's go see him. He's called a seer. It's good that people call you and ask you to pray for them. And they're whining and they're telling you how their sad story and will you pray for me. And prayer chains and all this stuff. And some of it's nothing but announcements and pity parties and all that. Okay? I grew up in a church where they had their prayer requests. They'd announce them. Oh my goodness. And if they're just topping each other. Well, I got an aunt twice removed and her cousin over here somewhere has got a sore toe. Let's pray for her. Y'all know how, is anybody grow up in that? Oh my. And there's a testimony service. Isn't that kill you if nothing else did? We had a lady one time. She got up and she was testing a little short lady, sweet lady, about her bucket had a hole in it. She meant spiritually or whatever, but she got down out of that in the aisle, went down in front of the pastor and pretty tough. Anyway, so praise God. I don't know why I was telling you all that, but where was I?
Talking about prayer.
Prayer requests and all that. Wouldn't it be better that they knew who to call because that person can hear from God? That they would. My wife one time, there's a large black lady in the church, and she was going to have surgery, and she came over to the house. I wasn't there, I was at work, and she needed prayer. My wife didn't have any anointing oil, she had some baby oil, so she anointed and prayed for her. God healed her, and she didn't have the surgery. Now, can we get back to that? Can we have that again? Is God? Are we cessationists? You know what they are? They believe it's all ceased.
Nope.
They believe it's ceased because they don't see it. But they don't have a scripture for it, but they don't see it. God's just not doing those things anymore. Oh, yes, He is. He's doing where people let Him.
That's right.
He's doing it where people will seek earnestly the best gifts, where people will allow the Holy Spirit to speak through them, to work through them. He's doing that. Is He doing it through you? Well, I hope Sister So-and-so comes to church, because if she doesn't come, we're not having church. You know what I'm talking about. Well, why don't you have church? And I'm not meaning the... I grew up in a church. I mean, they had church. I told you that. There's one lady, and she'd do a blood-curdling cry. I don't think that's of God, really. But anyway, she did it. And all those kids would be in the pew tonight. I do know this one is a message in tongues interpretation. You could hear a pin drop.
Amen.
What do you see? What do you see now? They're chewing their gum, getting up to go to the bathrooms, whispering while that's going on. No respect. That goes back to the parents, in my opinion. Somebody said, who was it said, just put the finger up?
Brother Pittman,
just put the... If my mother ever turned around and looked at you, if you ever got off her pew. But you know what? She pinched. And you better not cry. And you better not squeal.
I used to pinch my son and he'd say, quit pinching me!
Now, you believe this or not, I know you've heard this kind of story. We actually had one kid, and the mother would take him out, and he'd go, pray for me. It really happened. It really did. I have a lot of grandchildren come to church, and they think when Pawpaw's up there preaching, he can't do anything. Well, they found out I can, and I will. When my kids were growing up, they thought that. I stopped the service and go down and get them, you know. And my wife was pretty good about it, but she, in the old church, she'd just barely go outside the door and we could hear everything, you know, the wax and everything. But, I believe in respect in the house of God. I do. We've lost a lot of that. We're afraid to correct anybody. They'll take their kids and leave. You know, Brother Clinton, he said, you know, You don't have them anyway. You don't. These people, you don't have them anyway. One time, he was holding a revival, and the pastor said, I got to go to a business meeting tonight with the board. He said, why are you going to go? They didn't come to the revival. He said, if I do anything, I'd fire every one of them. Well, he wasn't about to, you know. I mean, that's his bread and butter. That's his, you got to be careful what you do with them. Now, I want to, before I go too far, I want us to look in John chapter 14, beautiful, awesome, 14, especially 14, 15, 16, but especially 14, the whole chapter, the 26th verse in 15, and then the first part of 16. These are his last words. His last words. And so let's begin over in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, Jesus speaking, and he shall give you another comforter. And if you have these other translations, they'll call him helper or whatever. Comforter. That he may abide with you forever. I've talked about how important it is that the gifts of the Spirit operate, but there's another aspect to this that's very important. And we're going to read it. Even the Spirit of truth, we know that's the Holy Spirit, third person of the Trinity, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, and neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. How did the Holy Spirit dwell with him? Because when Jesus came up out of the water in the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit came down upon him and he was baptized in the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, he was full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit, went in the power of the Spirit, and was anointed by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God is upon me. Now, the reason he was with them is because he was with Jesus. He's with you, and he shall be in you. Now, how could he say that you know him and see him if the world doesn't? Because just like Jesus said earlier in this chapter, if you see me, you've seen the Father. And if you've seen what I'm doing and saying, then you see the Holy Spirit and you know him. But he shall be in you. And I want to ask you tonight, is he in you? It's good that the Holy Spirit comes upon us. But is he in you? A great difference in my life was when he began to work in me. I know what it is to dance in the Spirit, to fall out in the Spirit, to shout, to run the aisle, all this kind of thing. I mean, I run the aisle one time, and I was coming back this way. I was in another church with a friend, and there was a banister up there on that tall platform. I cleared that whole thing. And I sure couldn't have done it. You know, it's kind of like Elijah running in the, you know, he outran Ahab's chariot. But I did all of that. But there's one Sunday morning, I went up to church early in that little old church, laying on that old green carpet, just minding my own business. And I really hesitate to tell this sometimes, but it's in that book back there, Christ Inwardly, but it has a treasure on it. And I was laying there, and all of a sudden, I felt just laying there still, minding my own business, so to speak. And something began at my head and went to my feet inside of me, like waves, back and forth. And I'm laying there and I said, whoa, what is this? I've never felt anything like this before in my life. I'm not moving, I'm not even moving my eyeballs. And it's just going back and forth. And it's, you know, I want to tell you, that morning changed my life. You can speak in tongues, and we should. We edify ourselves when we speak in tongues. That's why that old Peter Wiggler, I told you, when I began to go to work and do what that means, I tie a string around my finger to rear. I pray in tongues, and before you know it's time to go home, and I had church. That's awesome. You can do all, you can lay hands on people, you can prophesy to them, you can do all that, and it's good. But you know, there's a group of people going to say, Lord, and they not Lord, Lord, and they say, we cast out devils in your name, we prophesied, we did all this. He said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. The outward does not change people. It's the inward that changes us. When the Holy Spirit comes in and begins to reveal Christ in us, Paul talked about that in Galatians chapter 1. It pleased the Father who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal His Son in me. If you'll pay attention to the things Paul's saying, he's trying to tell us something. All through his epistles, it's an inward thing. And in 2 Corinthians 3:18, he says, as we behold Him, you know, with unveiled face, we behold Him as in a mirror. And from glory to glory, we're changing the same image as Christ from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's an inward thing happening. Seeing Him inwardly is what changes you, not outwardly. I mean, people see all these, they have these wonderful experiences, and next week they don't know if they're saved. But when He starts working in you, when there's an inward work, and it began that Sunday morning laying there, I don't know how He'll do it for you, but I know what He did for me. I finally had to get up and go home and get ready for church. All the way I'm walking home and I feel it. Woo! Glory, you know, I mean, it's in here. I never said a word, but it's just like, whoa. And it was like fire inside me. It's like, this is pretty good, you know. And so I thought, well, I got to have more of this. It's addictive, very addictive. And so I would go up to church, and I had a little office, and I'd lay down on that floor. Like, because that's what I was doing then, you know, you lay down. So I'd lay down on the floor and ask the Holy Spirit to come. He'd come. Here we go again. Praise God. And what was he doing? He was loving me. The love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost who's given unto us. He was loving me. Did you know He can love you? Oh yeah, He loves me. He got me a good job and He makes my wife do what's right and He does this and that. No, He can love you. I mean love you. And we can sing, oh how I love Jesus, not, you know, but He can love you inwardly. And it is so real. And I think I can say this with a crowd. It is more real and more intense than having relations with your wife or your husband. Now, I'm just going to tell you that. It is. It is greater. It's sweeter. And this husband and wife thing is going to all, you know, it's going to be over. We get to heaven, but that's going to be intense. It's going to be intensified. And that's what you begin to see Him and experience Him inwardly, and it changes you. And now you don't have to run the aisle to get Him. You don't have to. I want to say this. Will he always come when you ask him to? I found out he wouldn't. And for about almost 2 weeks, I'd go up there and I thought, what have I done wrong? God, are you upset with me? What's going on here? You won't come. I come up here. I wait on you. You don't come. Now, I've been having some awesome experiences. I had visions. The reason there's a treasure chest in front of that book, I had a vision that inside my chest was a treasure chest. What did he say? You have this treasure in earthen vessels. And it was glowing in the jewels and the gold, but I wanted to cover it up. Didn't want anybody to see it. It's very personal. You know, I don't think much of a man that goes to work and tells about what goes on in the bedroom.
Right.
It's personal.
That's right.
And I'm taking a risk telling you what I'm telling you. And see, the Lord makes himself vulnerable to us. Do you understand the risk that he goes to reveal himself in us? You read in John, he said he wouldn't commit himself to men because he knew what was in man. Has he committed himself to you? Has he? If he hasn't, it's time to get serious and do some dealing with God and find out what's going on. And so another time I saw him coming down. I just saw him coming down and I wanted to cover up. I felt dirty. And I remember that the man of God, you know, he saw the Lord high and lifted up and he said, woe is me. That's the way I felt. I felt, woe is me. Well, he wouldn't come. And finally one day he did. I said, Lord, why didn't you come all these other times? He said, this is what he said. I just want you to know I'm not like a dial on the radio. You flip me on, flip me off, and turn me up, and turn me down. He's a sovereign God. The other morning, before we came, I was sitting in my recliner in my room. Now, I found out he can meet you in the recliner, and meet you on the floor, and whatever. You know, it's not really the position. But I was in that recliner, and for 1 hour, I woke up at 4 o'clock. For 1 hour, it was glory. Absolute glory. And if you'd have walked by my room, you'd have never heard anything. I wasn't doing the Holy Ghost hold down or anything. I'm sitting in that chair, and God is touching me, and I'm getting blessed. There's not words to describe it. Now, he says here in John 14, I will pray the Father to give you another comforter. And I'll tell you one thing it does, it comforts you. It will comfort you when you're scared, when you're angry, when you're hurt, when you're wounded, when you're whatever's going on. How else can we make it without the comfort of the Holy Spirit? That he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. I read that. He shall be in you. Now here, 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. See, this is a personal thing. Very personal. Very intimate. Yet a little while the world sees me no more, but you shall see me, because I live, you shall live also. Please understand, some people say, oh, that's talking about after we're raptured out of here and the Lord comes. And no, he's talking about now. We sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus now. He said, the world sees me no more. Some people want to say, well, that's because he came back for a little while before he sent Father. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about my people. The world cannot see me, just like they can't see the Holy Spirit. We read that up there in verse 17. They can't see me, but you'll see me. I can see him every day. And I don't mean some kind of imagery or visualization. And I don't believe in that at all. I don't need that. And I can tell you this, I've never seen his physical image. I don't need to see his physical image. Praise God. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. He said, the world sees me no more, but you shall see me. Because I live, you shall live also. I am very much alive this afternoon. And if you want to be old, dead, whatever you are, and nothing pleases you, and all you can do is complain and be grumpy and mad and sad and your pity party and your, oh, poor boy is me, have it. There's life if you want it. Praise God. Sometimes we have breakfast together. And I walk in there. It's usually 7 o'clock in the morning. Everybody's around. It's a big, long conference table that Dion gave us. Big, long conference table. We're sitting there. And I walk in there. And good Lord, what happened to you? And I'm happy. Now, there's some of them happy, but I'm happy. And praise God. Sometimes I tell them, I'm happy. You want to be sad, you want to be mad, just be it. But I've got life. And when you got the life, you got the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, only goes. You have that? Do you have the robe on? Do you have the shoes on your feet? Do you have the ring on your finger? Do you have that? Praise God. If you don't, do you want it? He said, you shall see me. I live, you shall live also. If he's in you, you're going to be alive. Praise God. At that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. Woo! In. That book back there talks about all the ends. Did you know it's all through this New Testament? Him in you, in you, in you, in you. He that has my commandments keeps them. He it is that loves me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. And listen to this. And I will manifest myself to him. Is that happening? Jesus said unto him, not scared, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. I'm going to tell you, that's better than a lot of the stuff that's going on. Mm-hmm. This is real. It's intimate. It's beautiful. It satisfies. It's the spring. He told the woman at the well, it's the fountain springing up in you. Into everlasting life. Chapter 7, John 7. Everyone that's thirsty, come to me and drink, and out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. This he spake of the Holy Ghost, which was not yet given. You can't have this without the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry. You gave up on being filled with the Holy Spirit. You shouldn't have. If we'd get as serious about being filled with the Holy Spirit as we are, if we had, the doctor told us we're going to have, we have cancer. If we get it serious. Praise God. You know, he said this promise is unto you and your children, as many as are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. No exceptions. No exceptions. Did you give up? Did you quit waiting? He said, wait, tarry, until you be endued with power from on high. It's a promise of the Father. Praise God. If we meet the condition, you know, you look at Cain and Abel. The fire falls on the acceptable sacrifice, period. It did not fall on Cain's sacrifice, but it fell on Abel's sacrifice. It fell on his. When the tabernacle and God was pleased with the sacrifice, the fire fell. The fire will fall. Praise God, the fire will fall. If you get right with God. And quit giving your excuses. Quit all this stuff. He said he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. Come on now. Putting it off on God and blaming God. When you or I, if we're not receiving, there's other things involved. It's by faith. I understand that. It's faith. I believe God. I'm going to do what he said. Praise God. Jesus received the Holy Spirit when he obeyed the Father and went to the Jordan River and submitted himself to baptism when he didn't have to because he never sinned. Baptism under repentance. Well, praise God. He said, the Holy Spirit teach you all things. He'll guide you into all truth. Chapter 16. I'm going to skip down to verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's expedient or best or profitable for you that I go away. Jesus speaking, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, and I want to skip down, verse 12, I have many things that's beautiful, but I need to come on down to verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. He shall not speak of himself or out of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, praise God, and he will show you things to come. He said, we don't know how to praise. We ought, but the Spirit prays through us according to the will of God. He searches the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit never says a word. He doesn't hear the Father say. Jesus never said a word he didn't hear the Father say. Never did anything he didn't see the Father do. Can we come to that? That's being one with him. He shall glorify me. Glorify means a full revelation. He shall fully reveal me, the Holy Spirit, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while and you shall not see me again. A little while and you shall see me because I go to the Father. Praise God. One other verse here. 1 John 3. 1 John 3. There's no way that you can fully talk about the... See, some people say, well, you talk about the Holy Spirit too much. Well, excuse me. Jesus preached the Holy Ghost. That's what he came for, the Baptist. I didn't read this, but on the day of Pentecost, when Peter stood up and preached, they all spoke in tongues. They thought it was crazy. But 3,000 people received. But he preached and said their hearts were pricked. And they said, what must we do, brethren, what must we do to be saved? And see, that's what it can be. When people are coming and asking you, what can they do? You're not having, if you don't get saved tonight, you're going to step, you're going on your way home, you're going to get run over and killed or something, scaring people. I told you I was a little boy, grew up in a little church there in Dallas, and some boys from, young men from the Bible school came, and one of them preached, and he got through, and he said, you better get right with God. And somebody turned the lights off, and somebody blew a trumpet, and woo, glory to God, the altars were filled. It's a pretty good trick, but they said, what must we do? And he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father. Notice what he said. We do something totally different. Come up here and confess Christ. Profess Christ. Repeat this prayer. There was no division in this Bible, in that New Testament church. It was expected if you're going to get saved, you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't stop. You keep right on going until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. It was expected. This book was written to tongue-talking, Pentecostal, full of the Holy Ghost people. And that's why the rest of them can't understand it. Hallelujah. I know what I'm talking about. And you know. But we've been lazy. Chapter 3, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That has more than a single application. Many things, a lot of prophecies have a triple application. They were spoken by the man of God to a certain person, okay? And then it ends up, it's to us too. I mean, it's more than one after this. I know people say, well, when we're in heaven, we'll see him as he is and we'll be like him. I'll tell you what, if you're not like him now, you'll never see him there. You will never see him there. He's the only thing getting in heaven. Right. We heard that in one of the messages here. If we are not changed into his likeness now, if we're not seeing him, if that's not happening, we will never see him. But when he shall appear, is he appearing to you? Is the Holy Spirit showing him to you? Because if he is, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Are you seeing him as he is? Is it happening? Praise God. Do you want it to? Oh my God, praise God. There's so much. There's so much. Folks, there's so much. Is your life miserable? I'm going to tell you something. My life's not miserable. It's not miserable. I'm happy. I am so happy. Well, nothing ever happens to you. Oh, yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does. But my happiness, my peace does not depend upon that. I have somebody in me. I have somebody with me. I'm not an orphan. I have the Comforter. praise God, hallelujah, I'm seeing Him. And we're not of this world.
Amen.
Praise God. Brother Charles, would you come? I ask him to stay. Praise God.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. He's going to play. And I don't know what we do here, but hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, it said they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. It's you and it's Him. You have to do the speaking, but He gives you the utterance, not your mind. Not the words you learned as a little child. Memorize. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender all. Are you ready to? Praise God. Not going to happen unless you do. Are you holding back on God? Have you had some pet sin you don't want to let go of? Is it worth it? How's it working out for you? Praise God. We want to pray for those that want prayer tonight. This is about you and me and all of us that want to. You know, in Acts, they were threatened. And they got together and they prayed and said, Lord, grant us boldness. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. They all filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants to do that tonight. If you want prayer, you come and stand right across the front here. Praise God. You want God to use you to give. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you, whatever it is, but you want God to, praise God. Stand with me. I'd like for everybody to stand. Praise God. So it's open if you want to come. Praise God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You believe God tonight? You believe God? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. You want a refilling? You want a new touch? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to come by and we're going to pray that you receive a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. There's still some room up here if you want to come. Praise God. Hallelujah. Who's going to do it? God is. God's going to do it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Start worshiping Him. Praise God. Just start worshiping Him. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.